crud. It's heavy, heavy crud.
No, the only way they can at least solve the environmental problem is to literally enclose it in plastic in that foam. In Ecclesiastes 11, we started studying yesterday, truly the light is sweet. Verse 7.
Before we start, can I ask a question?
Sure.
Before we get in the middle of everything. You and I had just the briefest conversation the other day, and I'm still confounded by it. Can you tell me, or maybe if someone can tell me, what evangelical means as it relates to Christians?
Well, I mean, there's the way that it's used in the world means that you feel a necessity to convert people. And so you're constantly sharing your faith. The way it means evangelical from a spiritual standpoint, in my opinion, is that you're ready to share your faith when asked. And so I consider myself an evangelical, but I'm not going to try to sell it. So that the
are we evangelicals? Is the doctrine of the Trinity Foundation evangelical?
Not by their definition. Our definition is we're ready to share the faith if someone asks, but we're never going to promote the faith.
Is that the difference between an evangelical and, say, a fundamentalist?
No, a fundamentalist, these are all just words that have been invented primarily by the press, but a fundamentalist is one who believes in basically the inerrancy of Scripture. But these terms have all lost their meaning, their true meaning. I consider myself a fundamentalist, but not by their definition. I consider myself an evangelical, but not by their definition. I consider myself charismatic, but not by the world's definition.
That's another one. Are these things that we should gravitate towards in our lives and our...
Well, I think that we make, basically we do in terms of the fundamentalism. Fundamentally we see, yes, the Scriptures reveal the mystery of God, every word. We are evangelical because we're hopefully always ready to reveal, to tell the reason for our hope. So, and charismatic, that's a whole other world. There's probably disagreement here, but when I first became a believer, I spoke in tongues. I didn't even know what I was doing, but I spoke in tongues. And I speak in tongues all the time now, primarily in prayer, because I never know what to pray for. So if something comes to mind that I feel I need to pray for, that it automatically speaks in tongues. For many, many years, the way I combated my mind in terms of its always desire to try to go up to the mountaintops and all that, is speaking in tongues. But it's again, none of these things are essential doctrine to me or the faith. In order to call somebody else a Christian, you don't have to agree with me. Or What's prompted the question?
Some readings, and you see these words, those two words, and charismatic also, bandied about all the time. And it suddenly dawned on me. I don't understand what's going on.
Well, I think it. And again, feel free anybody to pop in your what you think about it.
I just tell people look it up on Wikipedia.
But that.
I think one of the key words when John said, should we be gravitating towards it or something? There's no should to it. You will either be drawn to it or you don't hear or don't understand.
Well, I mean, again, everything has to be predicated on your hunger.
Right.
But that doesn't denigrate or lessen in any way someone who you would, I mean, to call someone a evangelical, I mean, that's kind of like worthless, really, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because
it's like traveling over land and sea.
Yeah, that's a great scripture that Gary just said. It's Matthew 23:15 is the least studied scripture in evangelical Christianity. It says you will travel. Oh, woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites! For you'll compass land and sea to make one convert, and then make him twice the child of hell that you are. So.
And the child of hell is one who doesn't wait for God to express his faith, but one who puts somebody in a headlock.
Child of hell is a technical term. The only place it's ever defined is in Genesis 3. It's one who judges for himself good and evil.
So an evangelical won't disparage someone who that evangelical feels is not evangelical or feels
A lot of them disparage anybody who doesn't think exactly like they do.
Yeah.
The only thing that we make fun of is, or investigate, is fraud. And I think there's ample scriptures to justify that. And sometimes they make fun of Gary or Harry, but every once in a while, maybe once every 5 or 6 months or something like that.
Just occasions.
What?
Just on occasion.
But the bottom line is it's not only okay, but maybe even good to be evangelical.
Sure. Well, again, yeah, because evangelical, according to Peter, you're always ready to give an answer for the reason for your hope.
You know, John, you are completely evangelical. If anybody asks you a question about your faith, you open up like a newspaper, and you have a lot to say and well way of saying it. So that makes you, to me, I think you're 100% evangelical. But you don't go around saying, hey, here's what I believe.
Well, you don't. The main problem with is the extremes. And so the evangelical extreme is you're going to hell if you don't accept Jesus as your personal Savior. Where the scriptures say not even in your heart who shall ascend into heaven. That is to bring Christ down, and say not even in your heart who shall descend into the abyss, for that is to bring Christ up, as though you could be saved by your own works. John says that we are born again, but it's not by the will of man or the will of the flesh. It's a different thing. That's kind of what we're going to talk about today, about light.
Okay, thank you.
What's a Calvinist?
Someone is a follower of John Calvin.
Well, Calvinist primarily, isn't it? John knows better than I do, but I think it's primarily those that believe in predestiny. You know that you're either called or you're not called. In other words, there's a whole raft of people that it's obvious they're not called because they don't believe like we do.
Not called
because we have an article coming up about Calvinism, and I don't have any idea why it's funny.
Look it up on Wikipedia.
And then one more quick question. What's dumb about the National Council of Churches?
Well, it's the same reason that the National Council of Churches in the beginning, really in the 40s, but it accelerated in the 50s and 60s, they were politicized on a liberal bent. Politically a liberal bent. In the same way that the conservative Christians now have been politicized on a conservative bent, or the fundamental evangelical Christians have been. So it's the mixing of political action with your faith. And they've become, the National Council of Churches is not even, it's rarely mentioned anymore, where it used to be a force in politics.
So that's why it's funny for us to write their obituary.
Well, there's a lot of reasons that we'd write their obituary.
Are we writing our obituary?
Yeah.
That's pretty funny. Everybody approved it.
It's pretty funny. It really, that's a good article.
No, but that's kind of why I'm asking, why is it funny?
Well, we should also, we should prematurely, when it looks like they're thriving, we should run the obituary for mega churches.
Right or wrong?
All obituaries are funny.
Okay, anybody else? Since this is sort of...
You can just take a look at my list of the articles that I liked that thought were funny, and then you'll know which ones are funny.
That's what I usually do.
I try to convey that in the meetings.
That's what I usually do. In fact, when Kimberly and I meet about how we're going to... We go, what would John do?
That's certainly what I always do.
Thank you, John.
What would John think about this?
Why is the sky blue?
What?
Why is the sky blue?
I had to explain basic physics to Ronnie yesterday. I should have called in an expert physician, huh?
Do you think it worked?
Yeah?
Yes. Sure.
At least for this one time. Can we...
You're the leader.
Kevin, do you have any notes so far?
Truly, the light is sweet. Let's go to Genesis 1. In the beginning, or as some have said, in a beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. So if there's a whole theological theory about what happened between Genesis 1:1 and Genesis 1:2, because the implication is in a beginning, or in the beginning God. But now in Genesis 1:2, I mean, the second verse, it's the earth, which was already pre-existent, was without form and void. So something happened, maybe millions, billions of years. But anyway, that's another story. Darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Now, as we've studied for the last 25 years, and the Spirit of God moved on the face of the waters is what, also the Spirit of God moved on the face of the waters at Pentecost. So the ancient rabbi said, when God moved upon the face of the waters, that was, happened on Pentecost. So, and again, remember, the human race is always, as still water, is always called the waters, and that's why we have the Antichrist coming, to the beast that, coming out of the water. If I could go 15 different directions here.
You can talk all
sometimes
long.
Do,
huh?
And sometimes do.
But what about the light?
Oh. We're getting there.
Focus on.
Focus.
And God said. Or again, remember in Hebrew when we've talked about the time thing, there's no history in the Hebrew language. There's only prophecy. There's only saying what's happening next. So when you experience it in that language, you would read, everything is dark, each time you open the scriptures. And what? You're laughing at me.
No, I'm not. It's like a Shema. Each time there's a call to this point.
Right, and that's why repentance always has to be there. You never can you can never have arrived, you can never know anything when you read the scripture, because then there's no room for him.
That was a great saying, what you just said. Experiencing it in that language makes you realize that you've been experiencing it in a faulty language, so to speak, and then it blows everything out to say, wow.
Yeah, as I've, you've heard me say it a thousand times, English to me, and I don't know all languages, obviously, but of all I'm aware of, English is the worst language to understand spirit. because it has way too many verb tenses and way too many descriptive adjectives. So you got an answer for everything that puts everything in kind of a lukewarm place. Where in Hebrew, it's either dark, there's darkness, and then there's light. And you're experiencing it every given second. As you open the scriptures, that's why Paul said all these things happened. The entire Old Testament happened for our benefit if we can see. If we can see that, yes, we are here now, but we are the darkness. And now God is saying, let there be light. And so that always has to be the transaction. We're never the ones that are right. We are always, as you've heard me say, we're always the serpent who deceived Eve. We are always Cain who slew Abel. We are always the Nimrod who chased down... Anyway, you get the picture.
This is another example of everything God says is always everything.
Right.
Let there be light. God is saying, let there be light. You don't have to know anything else.
Right. But the point of it is, in order for you to understand this, to experience it, you have to agree with him that the instant before the light, you were the darkness. If you don't believe that, that's why... I mean, how much of your life do you spend trying to prove you're right about something? Well, if you probably made it, you know, could figure that out some way, you'd find it's almost all your time is spent proving or taking a stand. That's the way the human condition works. That's why you were forbidden to take a stand. And especially true in families, or the closer you're with somebody. You've got 10,000 opinions about what's right. For you or your wife or your children, because it's just right, goddammit. It's just the way it's supposed to be. And then you can even find scriptures about it.
Ask anybody.
Are you nominating yourself for an attack?
What did he say?
He said it's for me.
You're preaching to Tom, right?
Oh, God. Why does Gary do this? He just opens his mouth and
shoot
there's a target
me,
on
right
it.
Here,
I don't
me.
Know, but I'm just very, very happy that he has started doing this.
When did he ever not do it?
Oh, a few years ago. I was the can that got kicked.
Well, it's only because he wasn't in bananas.
No, here. I mean, everywhere. But no, he's completely taken over.
So now you're okay now.
It's a cakewalk for me.
I repent.
And the earth?
Looking right over. Meanwhile, back at the day, I don't
worry about that. Carolyn, you're going to have to, besides quartermaster, you're going to have another job. You have to be the sergeant at arms.
I got my hands full, thank you.
What?
I got my hands full.
Got her hands full, but...
And God said, let there be light. The first thing, let there be light. The first thing Jesus said, one of the first, is, I am the way, the truth, and the light. And so, when the light is sweet, was true at the beginning. It's true now. But we don't ever see the light with our senses. All we can see is the thing that's enclosing the light, the garment. And then, as long as we see the garment, then we will always just look at things instead of see through things.
And the best example of that is this. We look at the words. We look at, what does this mean? How does this work? What's the implication of this? What about that?
What you're really saying is, how can I use this?
And it's, but it's always...
You're the darkness.
It's always the adornment. It's the
it's
covering.
All, right. But this is, it's always about the revelation of Christ. So the light is always sweet. What? You're doing it again.
I'm about to say something.
All right. Thanks for the warning.
Get ready.
All right. I think I got to go.
Yeah, I don't think we have time. In the beginning implies time. If there's a beginning, there's a something. So given all of our time discussions and then what we just said this morning about the language that we're trapped in to try and comprehend, this is blowing my little mind. Because to understand what's happening here, knowing God is outside of time and without time, but it says in the beginning, it's rearranging the molecules here as we are talking. And that's all I had to say.
That's necessary to see what you just said in order to understand that the gift of God is eternal life. It's a life that's no longer dependent on the passage of time or what is occurring in time. It's a light that's life that's dependent only on the light. And so that John wrote about this a long, long time ago when he talked about we find out that we're connected to this string that's vibrating, but it's not vibrating from someplace that's connected like from a tree. It's a string that's connected to eternity. And it's shaking everything. The main thing it's shaking is these internal value systems. Because there can be no internal value system other than love, if you see its meaning, that's the only thing that won't change with time. So God is love. God is light, God is truth, God is the way. And if any of the things that are going on in your mind as a solution to anything that's taking place, if it isn't eternal, then your speech hasn't been salted because you've tried to make a sacrifice without salt, and that can't happen. And salt is the component of eternity. And so therefore your thoughts and what you've done, it's not just that, well, that thought has been salted. It's by the act of giving breath to something that is time dependent, you have left the mercy seat. You've raised yourself from the deadly head wound. Why?
This first line. I mean, it's incredible. It should short circuit.
It's supposed to. That's everything. What it means to be everything
it
being shaken.
It should cause one to stop and fall on one's face as if dead.
And again, remember, the days that redeem the time for the days, plural, are evil. And the only way you redeem the time is by giving breath only to that which is eternal. Then you automatically redeem the time instead of all these little acts of self-redemption that we've talked about so often. I try to give you standing at any given moment. And that's what the self-redemption means. You're continually trying to be right. That's why, speaking of Tom, the last time he was here, I mean, before he went to where he's going, we had a huge discussion. Tom, you never again have to be right. It should have been. That's the speech that we should have given to Harry.
I'll just be point man for Harry on that. You know, when you were talking about salt.
You're just over there. Are you and you're trying to get an ally over here?
Yeah. Open it up. But in this first sentence,
Tom's got the floor.
I don't care. Go back for a second to what Gary was saying about this first sentence. Our little mammalian brains try to make God subservient to something called the beginning, and that's what causes the problem. Yeah. We don't understand what the word God means.
Wait until you find out what the word beginning means.
And God simply created a thing called time and space. And it, by definition, has a beginning and a middle and an end. But the beginning is a created thing. In the beginning was God.
John, you remember there's a mathematical term for this form, that the point, this the beginning of it, is this, and it's a spiral thingy, is the same point as the end.
Yeah.
I don't remember that term.
Circle.
Isn't
that no. That would describe the circle.
It's that in that Disney film, the circle of life thing.
Oh, God.
Oh, except for the spiral part.
Tom, you have the floor.
Yeah. When you were talking about salt, you know, I had this flash, and I'm not sure what it all comes down to, but salt stops time for certain things because it's a preservative. The earth is the preservatives. Some things are frozen in time by salt, you know, which somehow just really made a lot of sense when we're talking about time and you've got a beginning, but the things that can be salted can survive outside of time.
That's why all of the sacrifices had to be salted. Because that salting of the sacrifice was a picture of Jesus Christ's eternal birth. I mean, birth from heaven. It proves that he, if you look at it, that one and a billion others, it proves that he was the Messiah. And he isn't. He isn't a regional Messiah. He's a Messiah that goes so far beyond our comprehension, we can't even conceive of it.
That's why Jesus said, the salt of the earth. We're that salt in the whole thing.
If you can see that, then the reason, hear what he said when he said, you are the salt of the earth. The salt, the only reason the earth exists, the only way it's still existing is because of the salt.
Let's see. When the salt's taken out,
everything else.
Lose your
salt. Right. If you don't, if your thoughts, yeah, if you are the salt of the earth, but if you've lost its saltiness, then you're good for nothing but you're thrown on the dumpster. But the only reason that scripture makes any sense is when you see that means that every thought, every word has to have that component of eternity in it. That's why no matter what people asked Jesus about, it was always the salt. He spoke only of the eternal, or used parables to describe the eternal. So my point here in this closing, because I'm way out of time again, is that this scripture that light is sweet is huge. And it's now sort of introducing the last portion of Ecclesiastes, so you can really understand the futility and vanity and emptiness. It's not just that. Oh yeah, that's a nice theory. You experience it. You know it. And the reason is so that his people can enter the eighth day and the marriage supper of the Lamb.
So, celebrating this weekend Hanukkah, which is when the light comes into the darkness, is
very appropriate. And it's also, it's interesting that in many respects, Hanukkah and the tabernacles are the same. John? See it? But do you see why? Everything, you've heard me say this all the time, everything in time and space is trying to pull you away from this. But especially your own mind. Anybody else have any response?
Just think about the day, the Hebrew day, beginning with darkness.
Right, that's critical to understand the day of Messiah, because that his day began when he was crucified. Well, we've been in the night of that last day ever since. The night has come, and no man can work. So Christ's crucifixion, well, every aspect of him, it inexorably changed everything. The universe, everything. because the only purpose of the universe was Him. All things were created by Him and for Him. And by Him, all things consist. There was not a thing that was made that was not made by Him. There's not anything that can happen that doesn't fulfill His purpose. That's why we can say that every knee is bowing, every tongue is confessing that Jesus is Lord. But it'll never look like that to the mind. You'll always think you've got something to do or something's wrong.
Because of time.
Well, that's the basis of it, but that's too difficult to comprehend in the midst of it. But it's really, this is the meaning of freedom.
That's why it's not a threat. It's not anything other than wisdom. The statement, judge nothing.
Before the time.
Judge nothing. Because you don't.
Well,
you
can't. All things are God's arrangement. That's the takeaway sort of cliche from this.
That's how there can be supreme confidence in things like all things work together for good and it's finished and because it is.
Kevin? You're doing it. You're doing it, Gary.
I was just thinking about the properties of life. There's a constant speed, and moving at that speed, nothing happens. There's no observable.
There's no observable phenomena at the speed of light.
Yeah, it's like one day God said, "Okay, I'm going to take this over here and slow this down. Let's put on a play."
You know, all that matter is spirit slowed down. And still, it didn't become not spirit. It's just slowed down.
Life is just music speeded up.
It's also poop speeded up.
It's also coffee speeded up. Take it, big guy.
It's all in.
Hey, listen,
Wikipedia.
I've got something to ask you all before we get out.
Wait a minute, we're going to. Sue's got the
pitch.